my darlings, and welcome back to another exciting adventure on Radio Wasteland. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallward. This is my co-host, Kara Kendrick. Kara, do you have any news for us today?
Yes, I do. So, top story this week, scientists have detected a mysterious radio burst sending signals to Earth every 16 days. The burst originates from a galaxy 500 million light years away, and while MIT doesn't think it's aliens, so-called fast radio bursts like this one are some of the most mysterious phenomena in modern astronomy. This burst was detected by the Canadian Hydrogen Intensity Mapping Experiments radio telescope, but numerous other scientific organizations have weighed in on this exciting find. Although an obvious explanation is that an object is orbiting the source of the signals and obstructs its path most of the time, this would not explain the pinpoint regularity of the signal. The other obvious explanation, aliens, has been dismissed by MIT due to the exceedingly high energy of the phenomenon. For more than a year, the signal played once an hour for 4 days, followed by a little over 12 days of silence before starting up again. In related news, Breakthrough Listen, a project dedicated to finding extraterrestrial life, released its second major dump of SETI data to the public, a survey of the entire Milky Way. Private individuals are encouraged to comb through the data in search of anything suspicious. In news closer to home, the UK is getting ready to release its classified UFO files, and most Americans want the US government to do the same. 61% in a recent survey, want the government to release its X-Files, although this does not actually imply that any such X-Files actually exist. Only 58% believe that the government actively investigates extraterrestrial life, which is still well over half. Finally, a video went viral of a man in an Australian bar saving the life of a lizard that drowned in his beer via mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. There's nothing paranormal about that, but if I have to know this, then so do you. Back to you, Chauncey.
All right, saved a lizard with mouth-to-mouth. How big of a lizard are we talking?
Well, it's Australia, so, like, unsettlingly big.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like sort of a, more of a gecko iguana type.
Yeah, I mean, it is Australia. They are all poisonous. True. And then, you know, that's a whole heap of extraterrestrial
news. UFO stuff this week.
Well, I mean, it's beyond UFO. It's the possibilities of the government and scientists knowing stuff or learning stuff about the possibility of life being out there. You know, the radio burst, you know, they always discount aliens, you know, which, you know, has worked out in their favor so far. But I find that guys like Michiro Kaku, when they sort of say, yeah, sure, it could be, you know, I think they inspire a lot of people.
To be fair, they didn't say it's not aliens. They just said, we don't think it's aliens. So, you know.
Right.
They said it's unlikely, but
they never.
They don't know what it is. No, they never do. And I think, I don't know, that's just going to make it all sweeter when it's like leading MIT scientists are like, we don't know what to tell you. It's aliens.
Yeah. Whoops. That was aliens. Like a couple years back, they had the one that people proposed might be a Dyson sphere. And then they got this one. And, you know, it's inspiring that we find more and more, you know, but the pinpoint accuracy, you know, why does it shoot right at us?
I think is so weird about this signal is the weird timetable. Beep once an hour, every 4 days, then 12 days of silence, then it just repeats.
Right.
What is up, like, that doesn't sound like nature. Nature can be precise, but I mean, even the orbits of planets, it's not so precise all the time.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I'm thinking. You know, it's like, I always think about this, and I think we're a little too stuck on this sort of life as we know it sort of idea, because, you know, they're talking about them with their levels of power, but, you know, maybe they're in a world where their own life existence takes more power. After finding out how smart cuttlefish are, I'm a little loose now on what exactly intelligence means. And then these X-Files, you know, the government has to be investigating the whack jobs. I mean, whack jobs are who blow up buildings and stuff. Of course they have sure. X-Files that deal with whack job information. Even if it's not true, they have X-Files that are full of whack job information because they walk into a room and be all, oh, this guy was building bombs and he's obsessed with dog men. You know, of course they now are making some sort of, I mean, you got the whack job. A representative that made Bigfoot erotica. So now you know the government has a file on Bigfoot erotica. You know?
Denver Riggleman.
And, right, and rightfully so, you know, rightfully so. They should have that file.
That actually kind of raises a question for me. Has there ever been a case of, like, a UFO not going, you know, causing violence? I don't think like UFO guys tend to be very violent. I think it's mostly like the Illuminati controls the government tends
of to course be I don't think Bigfoot eroticists are necessarily violent either.
Bigfoot eroticists might be. I'm not gonna give them any leeway. They know what they did. But
yeah, to be fair, they better be ready to make love like a Klingon, because a Bigfoot's, you know. Bigfoot's exactly. Gonna get violent, you know. I assume. Yeah. I mean, I've watched my dog take advantage of my friend's dog, and it's not friendly. You know, it's pushy. My dog's a creeper.
I was doing some reading on a cryptid site recently, and according to field research, it seems that your average Bigfoot is actually a very tender, gentle lover.
Oh, God. I'm not sure which is more disturbing, the fact that they know that Bigfoot is a gentle lover or that they know that your average Bigfoot is a gentle lover. There's always going to be outliers. Yeah, totally.
To be fair, though, I did just make that up.
Okay. and finally, in personal news, in prepping for the doomsday, I want to learn to prepare meats. and I bought a food dehydrator, and I made my first batch of jerky.
Nice.
And I gave myself brutal food poisoning. And I basically was stuck in the bathroom for hours. So round two begins this week.
Round two?
Yeah, well, I mean, I want to learn to do it.
You didn't give up?
No.
I would have given up.
I'm not giving up.
I hate food poisoning. I mean, everyone hates food poisoning.
I thought I was going to die. My vision was going, and like pins and needles in my face and everything. I thought I was going to die. I was sitting on the toilet. I thought Terry was going to find me, hear the thud and find me, butt up, pants around my ankles, dead on the bathroom floor. You know, I thought it was going to be the worst, most embarrassing death ever.
I think you might be an anti-survivalist. Because your ordinary survivalist uses their survival skills to, you know, keep themselves alive in a dangerous world. You are using your survival skills to harm yourself in a world that is not particularly dangerous.
Yeah, well, you know, at the risk of being too sentimental, Kara, my little millennial, my children are also millennials, and I have seen them give up on things that they should try over and over. So I figured if I failed in the most embarrassing of ways and then tried again and succeeded, it would teach them some sort of valuable lesson. So this is my goal.
Giving yourself food poisoning with homemade jerky is actually you being a good parent.
No, how I deal with it is.
I think I get that. That makes sense.
Yeah, no, and a terrible husband because I tried to get my wife to eat it too, but she wouldn't. All right.
No.
It's time. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. Our guest tonight is one Samuel Hoffman. Nibiru is the topic. I'm sure you've heard him on here before, and if you haven't, stick around, check it out. You're listening to Radio Wasteland.
Susan, you guys look amazing. What's the secret?
Our new Sleep Number 360 smart bed.
He chooses the comfort on his side, I choose mine.
We feel incredible.
Ooh, I heard about that. Can it really help you fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming our feet on either side.
But can it help keep you asleep?
Yes, it senses our movements and automatically adjusts to keep us both comfortable all night.
I don't think it's a secret anymore.
Sleep Number. This is not a bed. It's proven quality sleep from $9.99.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004. But our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans. And the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
The Active 2030 Club of Reading has done it again and made the 12th annual Sundial Film Festival free to attend. Action, drama, adventure, comedy. The Sundial Film Festival will feature films of all styles from local filmmakers. With an afternoon showing at 2 p.m. and an evening showing at 7 p.m., there's something for everyone. The 12th annual Sundial Film Festival will be taking place March 7th at the Cascade Theater. Free tickets to both showings are limited, so grab your ticket today at sundialfilmfestival.com. That's sundialfilmfestival.com.
Have you been curious about the buzz surrounding CBD? For starters, CBD is not THC. CBD will not get you high and has no mind-altering effects. This makes CBD perfect for use during the day. What does CBD do? People are trying CBD for pain management, sleep management, anxiety, and other common issues. There are so many products out there, it could make your head spin. At Catalyst CBD, they know how confusing CBD can be and have the answers to any questions you have about different uses and applications of CBD. It really is about educating yourself. The experts at Catalyst can talk with you about the facts and the myths. They can clear up the buzz of CBD and make it crystal clear why people are trying CBD and coming back for more. Come visit the store on Victor, just north of East Cypress, and find the widest variety of CBD in the North State. Come in and find out if CBD is for you and receive a 15% discount on your entire first purchase. You've got questions? They have answers. Stop in today.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/radiowasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest Samuel Hoffman from Montana Skywatchers. Samuel, we've had you on the show many times before. We always enjoy having it. It's always something new. But, you know, let's start off talking about this Empire Orb. You sent in the videos. I saw some photos of this thing. And, you know, it's like a lot of the time I see things and I'm just all, okay, maybe. I'm looking, I'm trying, I'm getting there. But this recent video of the Empire Orb and a few of the other ones are really quite amazing. It's kind of like an actual Death Star. In fact, one of the photos you sent in actually had it juxtaposed next to the Death Star, and it really looked remarkably like it. You know, what do we think this thing is?
Well, this goes back through some history here. It goes back all the way to 2009 when we first started up Montana Skywatchers, and we were, you know, back then there was hardly any of this. Other than the, you know, the UFO sites and all of that, and that most of that stuff didn't exist. And then, you know, I was always searching the feed for, you know, new and cool stuff. And then we stumbled on to the Norway Spiral the day it happened. And then we sat there and there was only 20 or 30 members at that time. And we sat there and all we had a watch party and we all sat there and watched this video over and over and again of the spiral, which you can't really, there are a few copies out there somewhere. But if you go back and you watch the Norway spiral, you see this object that actually ends up through some of the central crazed illuminations and this beam that comes off the ground and all of this stuff. And this is over Germany or Norway. And at the time, there was a whole G7 summit meeting where Obama and everybody was all there on the day that this all happened. And so we watched this object come through, and it literally looked like the Death Star with a little bit of minor color variation, and it looked more gravelly, like there was dirt accumulation on the outside of it. Well, then, you know, so we, being that we've watched it and we debunked it and we argued about it literally for about a week, and then, you know, we put it on the side, and I didn't discuss a bunch of, you know, crazy conspiracy theories, because back at that time we had to have a far more proof before we ever brought topic up on the site, because we wanted to stick to a scientific approach rather than a gossip version. So anyway, along about after Montana Skywatcher started going, and we first started seeing some of the evidence of the planets and everything else, I was outside in my yard again, and I see this orb drop out of the clouds, and there's these cold clouds are vaping around off of it as it breaks free out of the clouds, and then it stops in place. And so I knew automatically it wasn't like an asteroid or a meteor or, you know, anything, because, I mean, how does it drop out of the clouds and stop? And then it changed direction, and then it turned around, and I saw that open board, you know, the small facial hole, which is an, almost like an eyelid, with a little dot in the middle, and all of a sudden that blue light turned on, and I just stood there and froze. And I went, wow. And had I not actually seen this thing with my own eyes, and I sat there for a good 5, 6, 7 minutes, and then it eventually the light went off, and it cruised over to the side for a while into the next bank of clouds and was gone. And I went, holy crap. And I couldn't believe what I had seen. And having seen that light turn on, I mean, if the darn thing would have been on by itself at my first viewing, I don't think I would have even reacted as strongly as I did. But having watched that thing stop, change directions, turn around, and then that light come on and directly beam my direction. So anyway, following that, we started seeing sightings of the darn thing. People in Germany and Europe and the United States started getting pictures of this thing. And you know how the internet people like to, oh, it's the all-seeing eye. And they, you know, and they started all talking about this and stuff like that.
Right.
So we went back and we had a major discussion about the Norway spiral again. And there's some information that we could discuss about the region that the Norway spiral occurred over, which is where we could say, hint, hint, the collider over there. I'm trying to think of the first
name.
The Hadron. Yeah, the Hadron Collider is in that area. And then years later, we saw a cube come through a wormhole as well over Texas, which we refer to as the Texas Cube, but that's another topic. But anyway, so we started getting sightings of this over and over and over again, time after time in the clouds. Here it was over here, and here it was over there. And then all of a sudden, along about 2011, 2012, there was this black dot in about 75% of the pictures that were coming in from Europe and this and that and the other thing. And then we started getting some close-up pictures and some side shots, and lo and behold, there sits what we now refer to as the Empire Orb, central dot and all. Not the big hole asteroid, because there's one of those out there, too, that has a big hole in the middle of it. This thing had the eye, and it was parked next to the sun, repeated shot after repeated shot for literally about 4 or 5 years. And then it transitioned over to in front of some of the other planets that were coming in and started causing like an ion cloud dispersal, or you could refer to as space chems, because it was blocking some of the views of some of the planetary bodies as they were beginning more notable and at angles of light, which they were perceivable in a better frame. And so over the years with Montana Skywatchers, we've been doing this for 10 years now, we have so many thousands of sightings that we refer to it now as the Empire Orb. And then we'd had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of still captures, but we've never seen it on an actual footage. And then, of course, I sent you a copy of it this week that came in from Igor. I don't remember what his last name is, and I apologize. Mm-hmm. He deserves great credit for his capture. Anyway, it's pinned up Montana Skywatcher 2 right now. It's an absolute credible sighting of the exact same thing I saw. So now, if we want to discuss the Hadron Collider, I truly believe and some other people who may have a level of physics knowledge, and then the knowledge of the movie Stargate. I do believe that the Hadron Collider has sent a proton link to another galaxy so that they could achieve a seventh marker.
What's a seventh marker?
You know, for the Stargate, you know, they needed the seventh marker.
Oh, right, right.
The four points of location.
Yeah.
You know, above long time space.
Chevron 7.
Right, Chevron 7.
Yeah.
And what they did with the Hadron Collider is they speed a proton faster than the speed of light, and then they send it someplace else, and it crashes into something, and then it slows down and comes back into a containment area, which they have yet to contain. But anyway, and they keep having problems with the Hadron Collider because it sparks, and they turn the darn thing on, and it shorts out, and it's happened a couple of times. Last time they blamed a weasel chewing on electrical, if you recall. And I believe that has to do with the particles actually getting there before they turn the machine on. Being that they're sending them faster than the speed of light, I believe they're sending them ahead in time. And if they're listening, they can maybe fix their thing with this. But anyway, I believe that the Empire Orb is an intergalactic ship that has come from, like, just, you know, this is a random reference, it's not an actual, like the Gamma Quadrant or the Delta Quadrant, sure, from another way. And they arrived here prior to the planetary arrivals and all the other ships and bodies and factions that we are sighting, absolutely sighting above Earth every day now for literally almost the last 9 or 10 months, somewhere around there, where all of a sudden they're not hiding anymore. And we're getting regular captures of them up close again. They did it also in 2015 for a few brief periods when Attu's moon and everything was right coming into view and was completely noticeable over the horizon. And it was this perfect round cloud and with this big purple backdrop behind it. And everybody's going, wow, what's that? And if you didn't know, you'd just think it was a weird purple patch in the sky with a funny white dot. But anyway, we've watched this over the years, and it's become a documented event that is so time proven we can no longer argue with it.
So how big of a ship are we thinking this is?
Well, we have seen it parked next to the Texas Cube in some shots, and it is about half the size of the Texas Cube. And this thing is massive. It is. Of course, it's impossible to get out your tape measure when you know from here up in the sky.
Of course.
Yeah. I believe it is literally the size of what, you know, the Death Star was in Star Wars.
So a small moon?
Small moon. Yeah. And we've seen that the Texas Cube is twice its size. And this summer we saw sightings of 40 or 50 parked galactic battle cruisers, just like the movie Star Wars, and I'm not kidding you. We've got sightings and pictures, and I saw it by eye outside in the northwest sky last summer, and I was like, oh my God. And I don't discuss information that we haven't proven. I'm not trying to come up with a bunch of conspiracy theories, guesses or anything like this. This is after numerous sightings do I openly discuss this. Otherwise, you know, I'm sure people out there are going to laugh anyway, and they're allowed to because I've dealt with 40 years of this stuff. But there's far more going on, and it's so cool, and I'm so excited this week that we got that actual live footage that absolutely matched everything I saw.
We'll be right back. Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price, and after a few months, realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane and Shasta Tanks. Many people may not know that we started a propane tank refurbishing business about 5 years ago. We pick up tanks from various propane companies, bring them to our yard in Anderson, where we blast the old paint and rust off, repaint them with a very durable paint, and then install new valves. The tank is just like a new tank. We primarily sell these tanks in truckloads of 45 to other propane companies. I'm telling you about our new business because many of you are installing generators because of the probability of the power being shut off this summer. Shasta Gas Propane now sells standby generators and propane tanks so that you won't be left without power. Give us a call at 365-3793 so we can come to your house and give you a quote on a generator and tank. Again, that's 365-3793.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
You are listening to an interview with Samuel Hoffman about Nibiru. Find out more about him at Montana Skywatchers on Facebook.
You said that this thing came out of what you referred to as the Norway spiral, and you sort of alluded to it as being a wormhole or something like that. So the Norway spiral was an event. It's not something that's continuously there. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've actually seen video of it. It's pretty striking, and hundreds of people saw it. I think I think the Norwegian government or something claimed that it was a missile test that went out of control and sort of spiraled off. I don't know. I guess they had to say it was something, right? But it is.
Go to YouTube and type it in. There's many, many different copies, and the trick is to find an unedited one. And there's a lot of them have been chopped up, and I'm sure out there some places the original, because the original shows the darn thing actually come out of the hole, and you can see a change in the lighting and space and everything else. The copy I currently have ends right before it comes through. And I've been searching and searching and trying to find an old one. And maybe if I have somebody in Russia or Hungary, I have a friend named Petty in Hungary. I'll ask him to look on in his area. Maybe he'll get a better copy of it. We have to do that sometimes. We have to re-import videos back to our area of the United States or Canada and everything else. They have worse internet than we have. They're blocked in so many ways you wouldn't believe. But that's government censoring, and we have tons of it.
So you say the Empire Orb, you said that there was another sphere, that the Empire Orb is not the only one.
No, there's multiple smaller little spheres we've had captures of, even close to the Empire Orb itself, which is why we know that it's more than one. And then there's the Texas Cube, which arrived over Texas and over the Texas Collider, believe it or not, which would also back up that the wormhole theory in the seventh marker. I mean, otherwise, why are they arriving directly over the top of these things?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's smaller cubes. There's the long box cube. Now, currently, we've had for the last two, 3 weeks sightings of the Texas Cube between the lead asteroid, and that's another of the OCG's object cluster group. The Texas Cube has been hiding behind the lead asteroid and in between Attu's moon on the left-hand side of the sun. Now, it does cross in over the top of the sun in the early parts of the day. It's changing, so it's hard to call the time. But anyway, it's on the left-hand side of the sun. And for the last week and a half, 2 weeks, the long box cube, which is very much like the Texas Cube, but it has more holes in it and more structural incompletion, shall we say. And it's twice the size of the Texas Cube. And they each have a side orb that is usually sighted exactly in the same spot time after time after time. And that has something to do with the ionization of the clouds and their cloaking abilities, because they cloak themselves using this module that creates an ion drag off tail when our through space they come in. It's cold and then it hits our warm atmosphere, and then all of a sudden it puts off this steam mist trail that blocks the view. They also use the sun to block the view, and our best captures are when we're getting side views of square clouds with, and then you can see a three-dimensional shape, and then there sits the side orb, and it's like, oh, yep, absolutely, you can't argue with it anymore. And then the lead off clouds and the little pathways that they drag through the clouds, and the Montana Skywatcher 10,000 member plus group, they most of these people know what I'm talking about, but you literally have to see this to believe it. But and keep looking up, because on the left hand side is the Texas Cube and side orb and lead asteroid, and around the right hand side is the Lombard time after time after time, and it's just like, we can't argue with it anymore. So, of course, it's become topic of discussion.
Right. So if, you know, if these things are showing up and we're, I mean, do we have any idea as to why any of this would be going on? You make the guess that we're reaching out and somehow causing this to happen, but do we have any reason why this might be going on?
Well, if you look at the Thunderbird crop circles, I'll send you a copy of that. I forgot to send that to you. That is referred to by the Mexicans or the Mayans as Quetzalcoatl, and they show the Thunderbird's head is a cube, and then the little beak is a little sort of like little glitchy little thing, and that is the lead asteroid of the object cluster group. And
I've
above
seen
the head
Mayan.
Of the Thunderbird is a big circle, and that matches Attu's moon. And I believe that the Thunderbird crop circle is a time marker showing the rearrival of Quetzalcoatl. And the pictures on the Thunderbird crop circles match the facial markings of the Texas Cube.
So we think there's some sort of tie-in there. I know you don't know the answer to this, but what I'm wondering is, if we do think that there's a connection to what we're doing here on the ground to them showing up, is the connection in opposition, or is the connection something that's bringing them here?
Well, this is their return. Every 3,654 years, the two suns come in. And I know that's a hard topic for people to understand, that we have a second sun. We have a binary solar system, two sets of planets. Two groups, and they join and cross and exist in co-orbitation for a period of time, and that would account for why all of the weather is going really crazy and all the world's really heating up, because all the planets are heating up. We talked about that in the climate video that you have out, and then there's this the octagon shapes on top of Saturn, and the changing in the pole values on all the planets are showing these ion patterns that we've never seen before. And that's because it's like the second sun is a large standard red compared to our dwarf yellow sol, and that's like adding another magnet to the thing. And so there's a celestial ascension where all the life forms in this area of the galaxy in our solar system are being evolved in a fast DNA genetic ascension is what they call it. Mm-hmm. It's the living ascension. And now this is also coinciding. If you look back at 1650 BC, we had the same occurrence. We had climate change. We had volcanic eruptions. It was the end of the Mycenaean period, beginning of the Bronze Age, the end of the Egyptian First Empire. Climate migration went on, end of major civilizations, end of the Sumerians, end of the Aryans, changing of the people in Russia that moved into Eastern Europe, et cetera, et cetera. People living underground, et cetera, in vast cities in Cappadocia, which is now in Turkey, and all of this. And that all dates back to that time period of them having to go underground and climate change and moving and ends of civilizations and et cetera, et cetera. So there's evidence pointing through history that this is all correct and cyclic.
So this is probably a good time for me to segue to this. You've noted that there's been quite a few changes in the passing planets. You know, what changes are we seeing there?
Well, when the second sun got here in the late 2011 and we had the CME blowbacks in 2012, that was our sun blowing stellar material back to the larger other sun in an electrical connection. Now, when that all happened, all of the planets' axes tipped drastically. Now, of course, NASA is not telling you this, but it was a brief, briefly announced that all of the axes and such has tipped. But all of the planets have done that. And that's because of that larger magnet. Now, a lot of people were noticing early in 2011, 2010, that the sun was coming up in the northeast sky. And it was really weird. And the timetables were off. And why are the birds singing at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning? Well, the birds have a different point of view. And they are seeing the light of that second sun even before us humans did. Now, I'm amazed to this day that everybody doesn't notice how weird the sun looks currently right now. And all you have to do is just go out in the middle of the afternoon, come almost 3 o'clock, and look up at the sun, and it is totally not right. But that is because there's planets in the way, and we're looking at the dark side of these planets because they're within the Goldilocks zone between us and the sun. Now, all the planets have tipped. All the planets are heating up because of this second sun. Now, at our different tipped axes, if including Earth, and you look at the jet stream right now in the northern hemisphere, and then you look at the jet stream in the southern hemisphere, which used to go opposite directions, are now going one direction. And that happened majorly as of about the turn of this year. And this is, if you look over Africa, the jet stream is flowing backwards. And if you look over Australia, the Arctic jet stream is flowing backwards. And at one point in time, about 2 weeks ago, it Arctic jet stream ran from Antarctica all the way up over the Mexican Rockies and all the way over our East Coast, which is what caused that huge major storm that went off in Europe last week and the week before. So we're seeing extremities in our weather because our planet is majorly tipped and our winter access point at the axis is tipped, and therefore Australia is having the heat waves and the fires because their winter angle of light is almost direct dead on from the two major suns, or if you want to, the co-orbiting pair, and they're frying because they're getting direct sunlight that they don't normally, because we're closest to our sun during winter. It has to do with the orbital oval that we move on and how our axis is in comparison to the summer axis versus the winter axis.
Alan Gordon here, Coach Master Collision. In our 50 years in business, we've met many interesting people. One customer complained the car pulled hard to the right. When I inspected the car, I noticed a small bag of rocks tied to the left side of her steering wheel. The customer stated that on long trips, the rocks would counteract the pull. Problem solved. Only temporarily, though. The pull was easily repaired with suspension adjustments and a wheel alignment. Despite being told by another shop, the vehicle had major frame problems. Having confidence and trust in the professionalism of who is repairing your vehicle is sometimes the greatest struggle. When this customer has a problem with her car, she calls Coachmaster. If the issue isn't our specialty, I'm glad to recommend the best qualified company. After all, this is my customer. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
You are listening to an interview with Samuel Hoffman about Nibiru. Find out more about him at Montana Skywatchers on Facebook.
Speaking of planes, is the secondary star system, what do we call the secondary star system?
Well, a lot of people refer to it as the Emeru system because okay. Emeru is the, I mean, Emeru is so big that it would take seven photographs to get it in one thing. It is behind, if you look at some of the sun pictures out there and you see that our yellow soul is right there and then there's this weird little red ring around it and even then way farther out is this brownish red haze behind most of the pictures that you're going to get right now. Mm. That brownish red haze is Emeru.
Okay, so is the Emeru system on the same plane as the soul system?
Well, now you're thinking plane because you're thinking Einstein, because Einstein has set forth that we're traveling around on a dinner plate in the same place every day, year after year. That's not how stars travel. Stars travel through virgin space every day, and we follow around our star in a spiral, an electrical, because we live in an electrical universe, not gravitational. We follow in like a, it's like when you pull a sock out of the dryer. You get three other socks because they pull. And the stars are the magnet, and the planets and are like protons, and neutrons are like moons and dead bodies, and electrons are like comets and all of that. And a degradation of radiation and that sort of thing of the overall compound that are two solar systems, which you have become. They're not elements. They're a compound, a joined an astroatomic chemistry equation, which is the unification model that Einstein thought and sought, and the Heisenberg commission of the 1890s was always seeking a unification model. And the trick is that what works in the subatomic actually also works in the astroatomic. It's space chemistry. I know it's hard to fathom, but that's everything works electrically.
Well, are you saying that, so when I think of the solar system, I think of the sun in the middle and everything coming out of that on a plane, for the most part, in a flat disk. Are you saying this is not the case?
Well, think of it as we travel sideways rather than, you know, with a dinner plate in front of you. Think of the star heading one direction and we travel in a corkscrew behind them, traveling.
No, I understand that.
Better
yeah,
way
yeah.
to receive it.
I get that. Okay. Oh, okay.
You can type that up on you. It's called a helixal model of the solar system spiral.
I see. So, you know, every time we talk about Nibiru, you know, I got to put this question out there. There's a couple questions that I always put out there over and over. And it's not that I'm expecting different answers from you. But, you know, I want to make sure that everybody hears it when we talk about it, plus new information arises. You know, and is Nibiru, basically, should we worry about Nibiru or this other star system destroying the planet Earth?
No, they're not. They are not going to shoot themselves in the foot. Earth is the factory planet. We provide commodities, much needed commodities. We are the backwater on the other side of the tracks, people. Mm-hmm. And we serve the larger other solar system and their higher tech and their other two major planets. And I'm told, I don't have absolute fact behind this, but I'm told that there are three races that live within the Nibiru system, or the Imaru system, excuse me.
What are the three races?
I do not know. We could refer to them. I say I've never met one of those guys off of that planet, so I don't have absolute facts for you. I have tons of gossip, but sure. I haven't been able to stick, you know, that pin on the pegboard and say, well, this is it. So I try not to spread unknown knowledge. No, I have met three races. I have met a Draco. I have met more than my share of grays. Actually, one scientist gray. And several other grays who were of the lesser caste because they have different levels. And then I have met a Pleiadian. And I can absolutely, and I'm not talking channeling or sighted or anything, but I'm talking actual physical face to face. How do you do?
Right.
And to answer your question, they do not need to invade. They already own Earth. And this is not the first time that this cycle has happened. Within the last 300,000 years and the last management regime change, who owns our area of space, this has happened 83.3 times. So they won't invade. They're not going to destroy us. They're not going to come down and eat us, from what I understand, although there may be a few rogue factions that fancy cow lip stew, like we've talked in the past.
Yeah.
And so like Star Wars.
That's distasteful.
There are so many life forms out there. You know, there are rogue guys flying around in this craft and that craft and something they pieced together from the Ferengi, which is a joke.
Right.
you know, and there's so many factions up there that people have got to realize that this is not just, you know, seven guys coming down in a saucer landing and abducting people and sampling their DNA or anything like that for a test back home. These are multiple factions that are here with many sightings of many, 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 many ships. And they're all here for the ascension. They're all here to pick up the commodities. And number one specific one is gold, because that prolongs their life and it's a huge part of their technology.
With Nibiru and its planet cluster being here and the ships and the Empire Orb and the Texas Cube and them basically using us for commodities, like you were saying, gold. Is this, and this happening every 3,600 years about, is this something that we should rebel against, or is this something we should just let happen and move on?
That's a really good question. And kind of, I have kind of a message that I have to spread about this, and I've been kind of wondering how I would broach this, and this is a perfect opportunity. Thank you. We are supposedly going to have to share Earth after the catastrophe and after our next beginning of our next cycle. So we are supposed to, and this was what I was told, we're supposed to accept these changes, and we're supposed to get rid of some of our prejudices. If we can't even get along amongst our own people, how the hell are we going to do it with another race? And we have to be tolerant. And we also have to understand that their tech level, I don't know if you saw that draconian false video that somebody made that was going to be a movie. That was a couple of years ago, and I wish I had a copy of it. I keep looking. I haven't found one yet. We're going to have to accept that their tech level is so highly advanced that there is really no arguing with them. We have to understand that we have rights, and that would be the prime directive. And if you're an enlightened person and you open yourself up to the acceptance of the other races, that any being has the right to be where they are unmolested, which is what this is, a free will zone. Earth is a free will zone. And if we treat them with malice, then they have the right to treat us as an animal. If we treat them with respect and reverence and non-bias, then they have to treat us equally the same.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're at the end here. So why don't you tell our audience where they can find out more, where they can follow you, where they can see some of these pics and catch some of these videos.
Okay, well, you can send a membership request to Montana Skywatcher 2. You have to type it in.
And that's a Facebook group.
Right, that's a Facebook. And to find my older videos and some of my earlier material prior to them stalling me from being able to even upload, type my name in, Samuel Hoffman, SamuelHoffman, one F instead of two, in Hoffman, Dutch version instead of the German, and on YouTube, and you'll see a 10 or 15 or 20 of my videos or more.
All right, sounds good. Samuel, thank you for being on the show again and always. You know, it's always fun to talk to you, and it's always fun to learn what you have to teach.
Well, I really want to thank you for having me back again, and I really enjoy doing your show, so wonderful. Thank you.
All right. You've been listening to Samuel Hoffman here on Radio Wasteland.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.